Iran's 1979 Islamic Revolution transformed the country from a monarchy under Mohammad Reza Shah Pahlavi to an Islamic Republic under Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini, the architect of the Islamic Revolution. It has been called the third great revolution in human history after the French and the Bolshevik revolutions. Many things happened to bring about the Iranian Revolution. Not all happened at the same time, though.
That's all a beast.
Mohammad Reza Pahlavi was installed king after his father Reza Shah was deposed by the Allied powers during World War II. Years later, popular Prime Minister Dr. Mohammad Mossadegh nationalized Iran's oil. Much was at stake for the British. In October 1952, Mossadegh cut all diplomatic relations with the United Kingdom because of British attempts to intervene in the Iranian politics and national decisions. In November and December 1952, British intelligence officials suggested to American intelligence that the Prime Minister be ousted. The US administration and the British government agreed to work together toward removing Mossadegh from power. The CIA made that happen in a coup in 1953. The Shah, who had fled the country cooperating with the coup mongers, returned triumphantly to rule with an iron fist for a quarter of a century. Opposition to the Shah started from the moment he was reinstalled by the CIA and after he put Dr. Mossadegh on trial and convicted him of treason and other crimes. However, it took some 2.5 decades until he was finally toppled by the Iranian people. Massive demonstrations started in 1978 after the then opposition leader Ayatollah Khomeini was insulted in a newspaper article. The army opened fire on the demonstrators, only to worsen the situation. Soon the entire country was engulfed in chaos and protests after demonstrators mourning those killed were massacred in successive rallies in different towns and cities. Already suffering from cancer, the Shah fled Iran in January 1979. This time, he was not even hopeful that a CIA coup could restore his rule. Days later, on February 1, 1979, Ayatollah Khomeini returned to Tehran after years in exile. Several million Iranians greeted the man who now practically headed the nation. The Pahlavi dynasty collapsed on February 11. Iran officially became an Islamic Republic on April 1, 1979, when over 98% of Iranian voters approved the new system at a national referendum. After the revolution, the country went through many ups and downs. To make up for the past US interventions, Iranian students stormed the US embassy in Tehran, taking the Americans inside hostage. The revolution's leader Ayatollah Khomeini supported the students. The United States cut all diplomatic relations with Iran and imposed sanctions on the country. Soon the West and most autocratic Arab regimes in the region that were afraid the Iranian Islamic Revolution may set an example for their people encouraged Iraq's Saddam Hussein to invade Iran. Saddam did so. And his war on Iran lasted for 8 years, bringing death to about 1 million people on both sides and causing incalculable damage. Now 30 years on, in February 2009, Saddam is gone. US sanctions on the country still continue. But Iran is there to stay as an Islamic Republic, making headlines quite often as one of the most influential countries in the Middle East and the entire world.
Back, you're joining us for a live coverage that we're having on this special day, February 10th of 2009, 30 years of the Islamic Revolution. Who better than Dr. Hassan Ghafouri Fard, the former Iranian vice president, who joins us in the studio to tell us more about this revolution. Dr. Ghafouri Fard, thank you very much for making it to the studios here. Well, February 2009, today, now 30 years. Tell us what the revolution meant back in 1978 and what it means today.
Hello and good morning and congratulations for the anniversary of the revolution. You know, there are different systems in the world and different changes of the system. They call it revolution, but they're different. Like in Egypt or in Libya, there was the revolution of the army general or army officers. In the, like in Cuba, in Angola, in Vietnam, there were a group of partisans which fought against the regime. In the, some of the African countries like Russia and China, there was a group of the political parties who fight against the regime. But what happened in Iran, it was the real revolution of the whole people. It was not a group of the people, a group of army officers or a group of political parties. It was a group of, it was the whole body of the country, all the people. The real revolution. What really happened, people thought it was, they were completely dissatisfied with what Shah was doing, and by the leadership of the Imam Khomeini, the late Imam Khomeini, they decided to fight with the regime of Shah. Actually, the real revolution started in 1963, 15th of Hordad, with Imam Khomeini, but banished from the country, sent to Turkey, and then later on to the Iraq. On that day, in one single day, the Shah of Iran martyred more than 15,000 of the people who were supporting the Imam Khomeini, and their main motto and their main slogan was independence, freedom, and Islamic Republic. What Shah came out with the army and just killed everybody that they could, and they thought that can rule for longer time. But in from 1979, actually the new era of the revolution started. At that time, Imam Khomeini was in Iraq, in Najaf. The Shah thought that since in Iraq is very close to Iran, then people will have near connection with the Imam Khomeini. So they asked the government of the Iraq to banish Imam Khomeini. And Imam Khomeini was sent from Iraq to Paris in France. But it really backfired to Shah, because the Imam came in the center of the news of all the world. And it was much easier to get in touch with Imam Khomeini. And we had a real connection, an easy connection with them. And he would say something, and that comes to Iran, and we send it to every single man in villages, in small towns, and every place. So people started to rise up. From almost from 1977 till 1979. At January 1979, Shah was forced to leave the country. But he was supposing that he will go for a while and come back, which what happened in 1953 once. Yeah. Shah went to Italy, but by the coup of the United States, came back to power. And he was thinking something like that. It's time that we go to some European country or some American country and we come back. But this time, people have a real leader, Imam Khomeini, which he was aware of the situation, of the political situation, of the economic situation. And the leadership of the movement was completely by the Imam Khomeini and his followers. And people have come back to their Islamic religion. They have the ideology. So the revolution that had the leadership and the ideology, and with that too, and with the whole people, and so the support of all the people, and the ideology of Islamic religion, and the leadership, which was the great leadership. But with these three factors, people could overthrow the regime of Shah in 1979, and the new era of the revolution of the life of the Iran started, as you mentioned, in February 1979. And now we are celebrating 30th of the revolution. Well, during that time, we had the United States, which was against the freedom of the Iran, against the independence of the Iran, tried all the way to stop the revolution. Before the revolution, they sent General Heiser to Iran to see if they can stop something. They considered all the ways to stop the revolution, even an armed coup. But that didn't work at all. So after the revolution, they started to support the anti-revolution forces in Iran. That didn't work either. So after that, they forced the Iraq to attack the Iran. And they said that because Iraq had a real army, a strong army, they thought that they can overthrow the country in 1 or 2 weeks. We had a long war for 8 years, which is the longest war in the history of Iran, and only second to the Vietnam War in the world. Even that didn't work, and so they had the sanction, economic sanction against the Iran. That also didn't work. So now, after 30 years, we are standing right, firm and stronger than ever in the history of Iran. And I congratulate everybody for that.
Of course, it's definitely a moment for everybody to feel proud of. I want to talk about the war and that the sanctions that have been imposed in Iran in a second. But, you know, many have categorized this revolution that it really created a surprise throughout the world. And basically by that, referring to the speed that this revolution happened. I mean, there was no war. There wasn't really a financial crisis in the country. At the same time, you know, at that point, the nation had the strongest military, but this revolution happened in a fast pace, and it surprised the world. Why was that? Was it because people were so unhappy?
Well, I mentioned really that the real revolution is that. If you have a real revolution, you really don't need the war. If all the people come out, if all the people stand against the regime, that's a real revolution. That there is nobody to fight. The army was also with the people. I was in the jail at that time, and I knew that army will not fight against the people. So the real revolution is where you have all the people with you. You don't have internal enemy to fight with. The only enemy of the country was the Shah, which left in January 1979. So all the people inside the country, even the army, when Shah was thinking that army will support the crown of the Shah, but that didn't work that way, because the army was, Imam Khomeini also said, that one of the great leadership of the Imam Khomeini was that he was saying all the people that the army is not against us, the army is the people of this country. Only the head of some of the heads of the army are there. So there was absolutely no need to fight. While America was saying that if Shah leaves the country, there will be a bloodbath in the country. That didn't work that way. Because, as I said, army in 3 days before the revolution, the whole army went to the house of Imam Khomeini.
That's right.
And they said in 19th of the Bahman, exactly 3 days before the revolution succeeded. And the army, all the forces, the air forces, went to Imam Khomeini and said, we are not going to fight against this people. We are not going to fight the leadership. So there was absolutely no need for a fight there. Because there were one enemy, which was the Shah, and he was out of the country.
Exactly.
So after there was nobody to fight anybody. We were all brothers. We say that Imam Khomeini told the people that army are brothers. So we were demonstrating in the street, and we said the army are brothers, and they're not going to shoot us. And this is exactly what happened. You know, the only some of the generals, they wanted to fight. It happened in the 70s of Shahrivar, which was about 5 months before the revolution. But there was only one accident. After that, the whole army joined the people and worked with the people, and we were hand for hand with the people, and they came up with all the forces and all the uniforms to the small house of the Imam Khomeini, and they mentioned that we are going to be to support the revolution. So there was absolutely no blood shedding and no fighting and no war, as you mentioned.
Exactly. And that is spectacular indeed, because not only was the people that unified and became one in solidarity with Imam Khomeini,
also
the people
in
the army.
What happened. That's exactly
and they
what
turned,
happened.
Obviously, to the Imam to continue with what happened to be the revolution.
Well, the great point of the leadership of Imam is just making the friendship and brotherhood among all the people inside army, university people, working people, even those who were working in the system of the regime, of the Shah regime, because they said they are not against the people, against the revolution, against the ideology, against the leadership. There was one great leadership of the country, one great ideology, more than 98% of the people are Muslims in this country. So one great leader and one great ideology that everybody belonged to that, everybody believed to that, and while one united nation with the name of Iran.
That's right. Well, we're going to come back to you, Dr. Ghafouri Farab. We're going to go over to our correspondent, Amir Mehdi Kazemi, who I believe is in the streets of the capital, Tehran. People have come out in hordes. So let's go over to Amir. Let me see if we get a visual.
Can
there
I
we
mention
have
one point before you go there?
Sure.
You said thousands of the people. I would say millions of the people are out there. You can.
That's true. I always miscalculate that. I should rephrase that. Thank you for that correction.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go over to Amir Mehdi Kazemi. I see you, Amir. Again, every year it surprises me how many people come out in droves. So why don't you tell us what's going on there?
Well, yes, actually, the people of Tehran, along with the rest of the Iranians, have gathered here in Tehran's Azadi, or Freedom Square, in order to celebrate the last day of the 10-day dawn celebrations, which marks the 30th anniversary, or the entering of the Islamic Revolution of Iran on its fourth decade. The people have gathered here, started gathering up in their hundreds and the thousands since the early hours of the morning, and in less than an hour from now, you will be able to see the million-strong presence of the people of the Iranian capital, Tehran, to celebrate the 30th anniversary of the victory of Islamic Revolution in Iran.
That's right. And as you mentioned that, I'm glad to see that the weather has cooperated with us, Amir. I was afraid that today maybe there might be some snow or rain, but well, we had some snow a few days back. But obviously more of an incentive for people to come out and celebrate this joyous day.
Well, yes, of course. There's a perfect weather today in Tehran. It actually appears to be above 0 degrees. The same day last year we were freezing here, it was minus 12 degrees Celsius, but at the moment, as you mentioned, the weather is also cooperating with the people to adding to the warmth of the celebrations in Iran today.
The Islamic Revolution of 1979, I'm here, Mehdi Kazemi, there at Azadi Square. Let's go over to another one of our correspondents, Saman Kujuri. Saman, I see you with the symbol there in Azadi Square. Tell us what you have there.
Well, Kavi, as you can see around me, also in my back, and also the pictures that you have already received, thousands of people have converged on Azadi Square, and the Azadi Square, and also in my back, you can see the Azadi Tower. This is a symbol of freedom here in Tehran, and also for the for Iran, actually, since the Islamic Revolution began. Now, thousands, or better call it, of gradually, thousands and more people are coming and converging on this to Azadi Square, and also all across Iran. People are coming here. The Islamic Revolution gave people a voice, actually, and this is one of the very important points that has brought actually people all here in force to commemorate the 30th anniversary of the Islamic Revolution. And Islamic Revolution, since very beginning, gave people a voice that for long had been suppressed by the U.S.-backed Shah, and also Islamic Revolution pulled down the curtain of 2,500 years of monarchy, and actually let the Islamic system of government just take the floor and play a role. Now people have many good reasons, all Iranians across Iran have many good reasons to commemorate this day as a glorious day for themselves, because they have actually been given a right or a voice to declare whatever they want. Just in 1979, Iranians held a referendum to determine their own actually fate, and by absolute majority, they voted yes in favor of the Islamic system of government. And now what you see today as the Islamic government of Iran, or the Islamic Revolution, is the result of that referendum. And actually, today's presence and gatherings all across Iran is a kind of commemoration mention of that referendum which happened and also which installed Islamic revolution here in Iran. Back to you, Connor.
Thank you so much. There's Saman Khujri there in Azadi Square, and we can see millions of people have come out, and really this is indeed quite a celebration, 30 years of the Islamic revolution. In the studio, we have Dr. Ghafouri Fard, former Iranian vice president, whom I was speaking with. Dr. Ghafouri Fard, Saman Khujri mentioned something that is indeed very true and that resonates within me as an Iranian, and that is that he said that this revolution gave people their voice, a voice that was suppressed by the U.S.-backed Shah. Why don't you tell us about how it was suppressed and how this revolution did indeed give that voice?
You mean, in 1953, the Shah was forced to leave the country, but by the support of the United States, he came back to the power and ruled for another 15 years or so. So the people considered that as an enmity of the United States against the Iranian people. And that's why we never feel the confidence with the United States and with the American government. I'm not talking about the American people, I'm talking American government. After the revolution also, the American always try to somehow stop this revolution because they were also afraid that this revolution would go to other countries too. What happened in Palestine right now, what happened in Lebanon right now. This was the main point of the concern of the United States. And now what is going on right now, what is happening right now, is a new era of the history that the religion is ruling a country. This is the new idea, the new era of the world, that the religion is the ruling power all over the world. Palestine were fighting Israel for more than 60 years, but not the new era which happened, which comes with the ideology fight, ideology war against the Israeli, is what makes Hamas and the Palestine groups to succeed in their fight, in the freedom fighting against the Israeli. So what the problem really at now is the as Bush said, the in the of the uprising of the Islamic countries, there are more than 1.5 billion Muslims all over the world.
I'm going to jump in there real quick, Dr. Ghafouri Fard, because we're going to go on to the summary of the news, but we're going to have you join us back at a later time. But we do appreciate that you came here. Congratulations on the 30-year anniversary of the Islamic Revolution. That's Dr. Ghafouri Fard with the statements. We can see their live images from the capital, Tehran. There we have a parachute glider. But again, Dr. Ghafouri Fard, many thanks for joining us in the studio. This is Press TV's coverage, 30 years of the Islamic Revolution. We have the summary of the news. Stay tuned. And we continue after the summary with the live rolling coverage. Thanks.